This morning is the Word of God, as we see in Exodus 14, the verses 13 through 14. This is an exhortation that Moses gives to the people when they feared for their lives in the face of Pharaoh's advancing army. And it's not what you might expect in this situation. It's not your typical rallying cry. This is not a locker room talk or speech. Instead, Moses, he tells them to stand still and to be quiet. And he tells them to wait and to watch. It was Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever felt afraid, truly afraid? Maybe you found yourself in a perilous, life-threatening situation and fear was your first response. Or perhaps in a more general way, you feel anxious when you think about the future. Have you ever wondered why that might be the case? See, fear and anxiety, they're very natural responses, but they are quite unsettling, aren't they? Especially when they seem to stand against our faith. I know that the Creator of the universe cares for me. Why then should I feel fear or anxiety? That's the psalm we sang just a minute ago. Do such feelings, do they mean that my faith is weak? These are the questions that arise at times of fear and anxiety, which we all certainly experience in this life. And they always make us wonder why God does not immediately come to comfort us. You see, we confess in Lord's Day 1 of our Heidelberg Catechism that God works all things for our salvation. But how then does God use our fear? Brothers and sisters, this morning we will find great comfort in the knowledge that even in the fear that we may at times feel, God has a plan. And he has a purpose. We will see this through the story about the Israelites as we understand how God shapes and directs his people. And so then we may also reflect on how God works in our own life, how God might use the fear and anxiety that we feel to teach us. To teach us something about our hearts. To teach us something about who we really are. You see, fear, it reveals our innermost character. It reveals who or what still has power over us. And ultimately, it reveals where we place our trust. Now, this is certainly true for the Israelites, as we read in Exodus 14. In the moments immediately before our text, the Israelites are afraid. They're greatly afraid, it says. They're terrified of being swept away by the advancing Egyptian army. This is our theme for this morning. How between sea and certain death, as the people feel fear, Moses exhorts them. He exhorts the people with a prophecy. He says, "The Lord will fight for you." Therefore, the Israelites, they must not fear. That's our first point. But they must wait to see. That's our second point. They must wait to see a complete victory. So our text, it begins with a very simple exhortation from Moses to the Israelites. Do not fear. That's what he says. Do not fear, as they are afraid. It's a very applicable exhortation because they are terrified. You see, after only a few days of freedom, they suddenly find themselves trapped. There's no path of escape. On one side was the place called Pi Hahiroth. Was likely a range of impassable rocks. On the other side were the forts. The forts are garrisons, Migdol and Baal-zephon. And directly in front of them was the Red Sea. An impossible barrier. And coming up behind them, closing in fast, was the Egyptian army. You see, from a strategic perspective, the Israelites, they were in a terrible position. And this is clear also in Pharaoh's understanding of the situation. In verse 3 that we can read that he says, look, the wilderness has shut them in. They're stuck. And we see this also in the reaction of the people. When they see the Egyptians, they were caught. They were caught between the Egyptians and the sea with nowhere to go. It was a terrible position, but our reading makes it very clear that although it was strategically unfortunate, the Israelites had been placed there on purpose. They were placed there by the direction of God. They were there for a reason. As it says in the verses 1 through 4, the Lord had directed Moses to lead the people in a way that would entice the Egyptians to give chase. Now, if you look at this part of the world on a map, you'll see that the way to Canaan from Egypt is northeast. However, the Lord did not lead them northeast on the major road that followed the shore of the Mediterranean. Instead, he led them southeast toward the wilderness of Sinai. You see, the people had started from Ramses, and then they traveled first to Succoth, which was a city to the southeast, and then they traveled to a city called Etham, a city further southeast on the edge of the wilderness, and then from Etham they went back. They went back towards Egypt. They went northwest. Almost as if they had taken a wrong turn. And when this is reported to Pharaoh, his true character is revealed. Again, once again, his mind is changed, his resolve is hardened, and he marshals his troops. He calls together the chariots. You see, the Israelites, they had left Egypt with a great show of strength. But now, as it seemed to Pharaoh, the Israelites were weak and they were helpless. And they were wandering in the wilderness. You see, he smells blood, you could say, and his heart, it turns to vengeance. Just as he had after every plague, Pharaoh changes his mind and acts out of an evil desire to glorify himself as king over Egypt. His intention is to do violence. The language that follows in chapter 14, it's the language of war. Horses and chariots and armies. There are strategies and troop movements, lookouts and garrisons. Everything in this chapter, brothers and sisters, it points to a final battle. And all this is according to the Lord's plan, which was already revealed to Moses and the Israelites. And so Moses obeys. He does, as the Lord says. He directs the people to turn back and to camp near the edge of the sea, knowing that the Egyptians would come. And then as they wait, that moment does come, as we can read, when the Israelites lifted up their eyes to see in the distance the coming Egyptian army. As it says in verse 10, when they see the army, then they are greatly afraid. Now this fear is perfectly natural. They knew they were in a bad position. Escape was impossible. Fighting was futile. And Pharaoh was intent on revenge. The oppressor was coming. Their oppressor was coming with every chariot in Egypt. See, it's important to remember that these people had been born as slaves in Egypt. They'd lived a life of slavery and abuse. They were, as you could say, they were perfectly conditioned to obey their oppressor. A life of slavery is all they knew. Pharaoh was the master. They were the slaves. And so their fear, it makes it clear that Pharaoh still had power over their hearts. Notice how quickly their feelings change. In Numbers 33, we can read that when they left the land of Egypt, they left triumphantly. It says they left victoriously, even receiving much plunder from the Egyptians. Plunder, as if they had already won the final battle. And in verse 8 of our passage, we read something very similar, that they left defiantly. It says there, with a raised hand, with a high hand. But now, the mere sight of the Egyptian army, it sweeps away all their confidence. One look turns their defiance into fear. And notice also how they fell into fear, even though they knew the power of God. They had seen the plagues in Egypt. And now they see Pharaoh behaving exactly as he had in the past, just as the Lord had revealed. And nevertheless, this knowledge, it does nothing to calm their fears. Despite what they know, what they have seen in the past, still they are afraid. And brothers and sisters, isn't this our own experience? You see, fear can strike our hearts when we feel most confident. And despite what we know, all the wonderful things that we confess in Scripture, in our creeds, in our